Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm T2, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon because they're super gentle to my wires and boards. I think you should, too. Go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this episode 164 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, of course, is George. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It is not a show without Mo. How's it going, Mo?
How's it going, everybody?
In this episode, we head to the movies to see Jason Statham's latest film, where he's a one-man vengeance machine. Check out some innovative and entertaining tech designed to be used in the shower. See about that. And play a brand new game that evolves the classic Pong into a methodical action adventure. We're going to have those topics and many more this episode. But first, what's my favorite part of the show? Anybody remember? I mean, we have a lot of favorite parts.
George.
The end.
Okay, those answers are very telling. Mo said George. George said the end. My favorite is fourth listener email. Look, there's three of us. We're going to listen. If anybody else does and takes time to tell us about it, you're the fourth listener. And the fourth listener this time around is longtime listener Uno Clay. Hey, Uno.
Oh, yeah.
Clay? Yeah. Cool. Subject line of Uno Clay's email is gas stoves.
Okay.
Here's what he says. Hey there. I was just listening to the backtrack on 1980s home decor. All right. Yeah. One thought to add. The topic of gas versus electric stoves came up. This has been a recent hot topic, with my friends and family. We got you, Uno Clay. Essentially, we all recently learned the whole gas cooks better than electric was a media ploy of the so-called natural gas industry, a wildly successful plot to make us all vaguely believe electric stoves are inferior. He says, look it up. It's the most interesting recent example I've come across of mind control by a capitalist lobbying group.
Big gas.
Trying to stick it to the man. Poor electric. Have you guys heard? I've always heard that. I just assumed it was.
I always heard it was more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just more easier efficient to control. That's why. I actually did like gas better just for that. Like, I thought you could kind of fine tune it a little bit better than electric.
You could torch it up right away. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've always heard like, cooks more evenly and cooks cleaner and those kind of things. Apparently.
That part I didn't hear, but
no.
Yeah.
Uno Clay wraps it up by saying, long story short, electric stoves don't actually cook any worse than gas. And in fact, the new induction electric stoves are apparently superior, according to professional cooks.
Yep.
So
that is
he
true.
Says, guess what my wife wants installed in our house in 2024? Big gas wins again.
Yeah.
Bad thing about those induction stoves, it's kind of like the CD revolution for music with albums. You have to buy all new pots and pans to go specifically with induction.
Yeah, not all pots and pans work. Yeah. Yeah, like cast iron won't work with it. You have to use like aluminum base or something like that.
What is it, like cooking with sound waves or something? What?
Magnetic.
It's magnetic. Really? Yeah. So actually, if you take the pot off, you can put your hand on the stove. It's not hot.
Exactly.
Is that right?
It heats only the pan.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
Oh, well, no doubt that's what Uno Clay's wife wants installed in their house in 2024.
Plus new pots, like George said.
It sounds really cool. And all new cookware.
Yep.
As a salutation, Uno Clay says, thanks for all you do, Uno Clay from Philadelphia. Thank you. That's awesome. We appreciate you. We love it that you wrote in. We love every time the fourth listener takes time to write in. If you'd like your email featured here on the show, it is drop dead easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. You know, we read every single one, and most of them, like Uno Clay's, will eventually make the show. All right. With that good business behind us, let's jump into the body of episode 164 right after this quick break. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky. Mm-hmm. Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Oh, musty odors. We need Arm & Hammer Maximum Strength Carpet Deodorizer. More odor-destroying ingredient than these combined. And while those sit on top, Arm & Hammer Carpet Deodorizer penetrates, destroys deep-down odors.
The whole room's fresh.
They work better, cost less.
Let's get going, talking about what we have been enjoying in the world of media. Now, I know this could be books or comics or music or television or film or whatever. I'd like to get started with you, George. I know that you have been very busy. Your wife is home and you're enjoying having your family back under the same roof again. Have you got a chance to check up on any new media?
I have. There's actually so much to talk about, and we try to limit ourselves to just one entry. So we were talking before we started here. I was kind of debating between the movie I'm going to talk about and another movie that I just got through like my public domain stuff, The Iron Claw, which is all about the Von Erich family.
Looks good.
And then just today popped up about Billy Joel releasing a new song for the first time in 20 years. I was like, well, crap, maybe I should put that in the media segment instead.
Wow.
But the truth of the matter is, I decided to go with the movie The Beekeeper, Jason Statham's latest action flick. And I decided to go with it for two reasons. Number one, John had already written the tease, so he kind of locked me in.
Yeah.
Number two,
it's my fault. Okay, I'll take it.
Number two, there were a lot of people in our Discord server, genxgrownup.com/Discord, who were talking about this movie when it first got released in theaters and were praising it to the heavens about, oh, it's awesome. It's, you know, Jason Statham does Jason Bourne. I saw all these comments about how much they loved it. It was the best thing. They just really enjoyed it. I'm going to make a lot of people in our Discord server a little upset right now. I didn't really like it.
Well, that's all right.
On a scale of 5 to who gives a shit, it was closer to the what happened here kind of rating.
What is that, a 2 on the who gives a shit scale? I don't know where that falls.
It was
on a scale from 1 to 10, you're an F. It works.
But the reason why I'm saying it that way is because that's how the movie was for me. Mm. It was just kind of haphazardly put together, I felt like. The editing of this film was, in my opinion, terrible. I believe there's probably a better film on that cutting room floor somewhere. Hmm. I think that they cut out too much. I could not give two shits about Jason Statham's character. Felicia Rashad, who has come on and done the Creed films of the last like decade or so and been instrumental as far as an emotional, evocative character actress lately, was not given enough time for us to care about her. The daughter was bleh at best, and there was no... There was no way to really care. It was literally just an action flick for action flick's sake. Now, don't get me wrong. Those things have their place. But generally, I consider those to be B-class movies on low budgets or things of that nature. This was obviously something that had some money behind it. You can't have the people that were in this movie without having some money behind it. Hmm. But I felt like it just fell flat in the edit. And I watched it and immediately thought, is there any way I could go back and get my time back from watching this movie? Because it just wasn't that great.
I mean, I watched it too. I didn't think it was a great movie by any stretch. I mean, I don't feel as bad as, I don't think I disliked it as much as you did. I mean, like you said, I agree with you, George. It was like, it was just an action movie, right? That's it. I mean, the only saving grace is that they get he beats up telemarketers, you know, which is always entertaining, right? Yeah. It's like there's certain groups that you can always fight, like Nazis, zombies, and telemarketers, right? Those are the three groups that you always, that no one's ever going to complain to you about fighting.
A piece of crap indie film, student film, would be great if you're beating up telemarketers. So that would be all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I mean, well, and you know, the telemarketers that you're talking about, the hackers that stole Felicia Rashad's money and forced her to commit suicide and everything. I felt like that whoever wrote that part of the movie, especially the speech that the guy gave while he was stealing Felicia Rashad's money, I felt like that they had watched one of the Scambaiter YouTube videos right before they wrote the scene, because it was almost verbatim for what those guys do to the scammers in the different countries, especially India. And I was just, I was like, okay, that's everything that they do in those videos, like line for line. Somebody just watched one of those and put it on paper and decided to center a movie around it. We did have, what's his name? Josh Hutcherson from the Hunger Games movies. Yeah. He was kind of the president lady's son.
Yeah.
And they do that whole like reveal. Like they never tell you until halfway through the movie that, oh, she's the president. That's who he's going after. He's going after her family.
Yeah.
I couldn't have cared less. And she didn't make me feel anything. The kid, he didn't make me feel like I wanted him dead, which I should want him dead. It just, it fell flat the whole way through. And I feel like it was the problem with the editing, because I've seen all those actors and actresses and they have all been phenomenal in other things. So,
you know, oddly, the box office disagrees with all of us. I tried to watch it. I couldn't finish it. But it did well at the box office. So, I mean, there's something there, obviously. Like you said, maybe people are seeing through the edit to, oh, there's some performances I like, maybe, but maybe I'll go back to it. Hearing your total evaluation of the whole film, I probably won't go back to it, honestly, now. But unless it becomes a great series, then I'll go back and check out the first one. Yeah.
I'm not one to dissuade anybody from enjoying what they enjoy. I didn't like this. Our Discord server disagrees with me. Obviously, like you said, the box office disagrees with me. So I'm probably the one missing it. I just couldn't find it. And I wanted to. That's the part that bothers me the most. I wanted to enjoy the movie and I just couldn't. So it's okay, I guess. But if you've got something else to watch, which John does, I would say go watch whatever this thing is that John's about to tell us about.
Yeah, I enjoyed the film that I watched. Now, it's not brand new. It's from 2019. And I'm going to play a little sample for you. Tell me if you recall this from the summer of 2000.
Who let the dogs out?
Not watch a Who Let the Dogs Out documentary.
I did watch a Who Let the Dogs Out documentary.
Wow.
I absolutely did.
Oh, so God.
We all remember this song. It was a huge hit for about 6 months, and then everybody hated it. It's one of those.
It didn't take 6 months.
Yeah. Every sporting arena played it. I mean, it was everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. It was all over the place.
I was going to say, it took me about 6 minutes to start hating that song.
You know, for a while, I liked it. I'm like, man, this is awesome. Where'd this come from? And then it just got oversaturated for me. I thought it was clever, and then it was oversaturated. Anyway, but yeah, I found that there's a documentary, George, about the song Who Let the Dogs Out. So the documentarian, well, he wasn't initially a documentarian. He's just a guy who was out of work and he moved to a new city and he had no friends there. But what he did have was kind of a burning desire to know more. Like, this was his favorite song. He loved this song, Who Let the Dogs Out. His name is Ben Sisto. And over the years, like, he decided, well, I have nothing else going on. I'm out of work. I'm going to really dig in deep on this song and I'm going to become the de facto authority. So the documentary is, well, I'm just telling you, there's one out there for everything.
Yeah.
And the film is kind of half documentary, but rather than being narrated, it's like, it looks like he holds these TED Talks about the song, apparently, where he's in front of an audience and he's talking about the lineage of the song.
Really?
Wow.
And you don't have to love the song to enjoy this twist and turn surprise reveal documentary.
Is like a murder in it or something?
No, it's not a murder. No.
Is this an M. Night Shyamalan documentary? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah. What's the twist?
Well, so the Baha Men were the group that released this in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's nothing new under the sun. So when it became a huge hit, there were lawsuits. And there were some people who said, oh, we really wrote the original song in 1998. And this demo was sent to the Baha Men who did it.
Okay.
And then as that got popularity, it was like, oh, no. Well, back in 1996, these other people did it. And we deserve the money. And there's the other DJs that wrote one that was like where are all the dogs at kind of thing. But it had the who it had that in it. So it's like, well, it's okay. Very clearly derivative of this. And they're all arguing and fighting over this thing. And the twist comes toward the end when you're like, none of them were the originators. I'm not going to tell you what the twist is. It goes all the way back to 1992 when someone who's not even a musical artist originated the chant in this song that became a huge hit all over the world. And they never got any credit for it. So it's like a whodunit or a who wrote it kind of thing where he has these amazing presentations where he has line charts. And you think of like the crazy, beautiful mind with the yarn on the post board or the push pins. And he's tracing down who inspired who and who
it's
had
like
the
a murder
sample.
Board or something. You know,
yeah, like, it is a murder board
like
for the
red
song.
Yarn string goes to Apocalypse. Like, yeah.
Exactly. And ultimately, he does it with such a sense of humor because after he interviews someone at the end of the interview, always he goes, before I let you go, I mean, I've got to ask, seriously, who let the dogs out? But the question is actually, who is the one that let this song into the world? Who birthed this melody, this rhythm, this chant that became an international hit? And I loved it. I actually watched it twice. Last time we recorded, it's been 4 weeks ago. We took a couple of episodes off. So right after our last episode is when I watched it. And then a couple weeks later, I'm like, that was really good. I want to watch it again and see if I see the twist coming. Because it's a documentary with a twist about a dumb song from 2000. It's not about Bigfoot, but I still really liked it. So Who Let the Dogs Out 2019. Yeah, it's a documentary. It's about pop culture crap we love. I mean, it's not Gen X pop culture exactly, but we all were there and we enjoyed Who Let the Dogs Out. So worth checking out if you like documentaries at all or just music. So
I just wonder if he's going to do his next documentary on the Budweiser Bullfrogs.
Budweiser.
No, he's already announced. It's Waza. That's what he's doing instead.
Oh, God.
Mo, how about you? What have you been watching in the world of media?
So, oh my God, how do you follow that? Anyway, so I saw a movie a while back and it's now like in the Oscar world, American Fiction. I don't know if you guys heard of this movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No.
It's basically about a black writer. He writes like serious, like historical or books. But he has trouble getting published because, one, he goes to a bookstore, and even though his stuff is just on general knowledge, they put it with the black author section. They put his books there, you know?
Okay.
And he sees the books that are super popular. It's like, oh, the experience, da da da. And they're all just like crappy, just stupid stories, you know? And so he gets fed up and says, screw it. And he writes like the worst possible story about a young black man that he possibly can and sends it to his publisher. His publisher reads it and says, this is a piece of crap.
Yep.
Sends it off. Everybody loves it.
Oh,
of course.
And he's like, he can't.
And he hates it, right?
He can't believe it. Oh, it's like he made up a fake, like he had a kid with a pen name, luckily.
Yeah.
And they get him on the phone the first time and they're like, oh, is this so-and-so? He's like, this is he. And they go, what? He goes, Yeah, it's me. What do you want? Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay, good. Oh, phew. You know? And it just goes to the absurdity around all of that. Mm-hmm. And just how people are just like claiming that it's the book that helps everyone understand what's going on in the inner city. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And he's just on this ride that he can't stop anymore. Like they want to make a movie out of it. He's like, oh my God, he can't, but he needs the money and it's making him money. So he's like, what do you do? It was a really good, Jeffrey Wright is the main guy in it. And you've seen him in a million things.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
is amazing.
He was the main guy in Westworld for a while, wasn't he? He was the main guy that ran Westworld.
One of the guys in Westworld. He was also Felix Leiter in the Daniel Craig Bond films.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Yeah. Right.
Yep. I mean, all the performances are great. It's funny because while he's writing the book, he sees like the actors up there acting it out, you know, in his head, like in his room with him.
Oh, in his head.
And he's sitting there typing. All of a sudden, like one of the actors looks at him and says, "What?" Like, just looks at him, like totally breaks the wall. And he's like, "Yeah, that really doesn't work, does it?"
He like the guy in his imagination also doesn't like it there.
This is ridiculous. But let me tell you, if you want to see a movie, I mean, it is well acted, well written. I think it's definitely worthy of being up there with these other movies that are nominated for Best Picture and stuff this year.
Is that what it's up for? Best Picture?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, I thought it'd be like maybe Jeffrey Wright or somebody as a Best Actor or something.
No, it's up for like two or three actually Oscars.
Okay, might be that too.
Wow.
Okay.
But it's definitely worth seeing. Everything about it is just it's a great story on top of everything else. And absolutely, you have to see it for the way it ends. And I will in no way give it away. But the way it ends was just so perfect for this type of movie.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So we have a movie that I don't have to go back and see now, The Beekeeper, and a movie that I wasn't going to see and now I'm going to American Fiction. And Who Let the Dogs Out, that you've got to watch anyway, no matter what.
So. Well, yeah, that's on my list already.
Okay. We'll be right back.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
If it's extra crunchy peanut butter for your extra special ones, you ought to know about the difference.
The difference is Jif's peanut-ier crunch. That says you mean the world to me.
It's the only crunch for your special bunch with a taste more peanut-y.
She loves crunchy peanut butter with great big peanutty chunks. So it's got to be Jif.
Of all the big brands, Jif Extra Crunchy's got more bigger chunks, more crunchy peanut taste.
The crunchier difference in Jif.
All right, George, why don't you kick us off today with tech and toys?
Okay, well, I definitely have a piece of tech.
Okay, that's good. Check.
So we needed to mount the TV in our bedroom to the wall. Before, we had it sitting on top of a really sturdy computer desk, which I had to move out because we had to make room for my wife's hospital bed in the bedroom. And when we moved it out and we put it on this much more flimsy computer desk in the corner for the room. And I was like, okay, well, we got to mount this thing to the wall. If I'm going to mount a TV to the wall, I'm going to get a new TV. Cause I've had that one for like a decade or more. It's barely 1080p. So I went looking online and turns out you can get a TV that's 10 inches bigger, 4K for like $250. So I'm like, okay,
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll just grab one of those for her. And I did, and I grabbed one from a company called TCL. They're out there everywhere. I personally never had any of their devices. I found one of their 55-inch 4K year 2023 models for like $269 on Amazon.
Jesus Christ, for 55 inches.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, a hell of a TV. Okay, that's awesome. $270. I went to buy it and it was going to take several days to get here. And I was like, well, I really need to get this up for her now. Mm-hmm. So I said, let me go look at Sam's Club, because I've recently discovered that Sam's Club, if you have a membership, they will deliver stuff to your house for free, just like Amazon will.
Okay.
So I looked and they had the same brand television, a slightly better model for the year 2023, 55 inches for the same price. And I'm like, okay,
there you go.
I'll get that one. One of the things that attracted me to the Amazon listing was the fact that this TV came with Fire TV. And I'm so tired of having to have a Fire Stick with things. A smart TV with the Fire OS. That's what I would really like to have. I just assumed that the one from Sam's Club would also have Fire OS. Everything be great. It doesn't. It actually has the Google TV OS.
Oh,
I've never seen
that. Let me tell you, it sucks. Oh my God. Is it an awful interface and system? Google, as far as I remember, owns YouTube, right?
Yep.
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. So the only company that owns YouTube can't get their YouTube app to work right in their own OS. When I got to log in with my account, which is a family account that I pay all that extra YouTube premium bullshit money for,
right.
It only shows my account. So my wife can't look at her YouTube items that she loves to watch because her account doesn't show up. Only mine does. So I have to plug the fucking Fire Stick back into this TV.
Oh, no.
So that she can watch YouTube. It is such a pain in the ass. I hate it. I don't understand why TCL switched from Fire OS to Google. It must have been some kind of deal or something like
that.
Because now it looks like all their models are doing Google. So I'm guessing they had a contract with Amazon for a while and then they switched to Google.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is for the Google execs who are absolutely listening to our podcast every week, fix your shit. God damn it. Pisses me off.
It's almost like the kind of thing, like it might be worth ordering the one you wanted from Amazon. And then when it gets there,
take this one
back to Sam's.
Maybe.
It's a little hassle. I know.
Mounted it to the wall. And
well, it would mount exactly the same. Same screw holes, probably.
It would, everything but I'm too fucking lazy. I barely got this one up there. So.
Aside from the anyway, OS, how was the TV? Was it
the TV good? Seems to be clear. I mean, it's a 4K TV. It's going to be. You know, four times better than the 1080p that I had before. Although I'm always confused by that because it says 4K and it's supposed to be four times better than 1080p, I thought, but it's the number is only double. It's 2160. So I always get confused by that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What
it's because it's double in both directions.
That.
So it multiplies. So it's four times as many pixels.
Two, four.
It's double wide and double tall. Yeah. But even if you don't have 4K content, it doesn't matter. It's just going to make your 1080p stuff look good. It's not going to make it better.
Yeah, and it does. It's very crisp and clear. I was watching a terrible early 90s film called Robot Jocks on it the other night.
Oh, I know that movie. Sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. And it did look it looked very sharp, and I was very surprised on that TV. So it's a good TV. TCL.
This piece of shit looks great.
Yeah. TCL seems to make a good quality product. I just don't like the OS they're using now.
Yeah,
so
I hear it.
If you're interested, I'll give Mo a link to the Amazon version. I don't know. It probably has Google on that one as well. But for $200 or $300, 55-inch 4K TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
bad. It's pretty solid. So I would consider buying it, I guess, again.
You know, as long as you had a Fire Stick handy to plug into it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mo, what about you? Are you the one who has something that John wants to play with in the shower? Is that what I remember from the tease?
Absolutely. I mean, because we all bathe, right?
I'm admittedly apprehensive about this tech for the shower. I've just got to say it out front.
Okay. No, I mean, we all shower, bathe, right? We were generally clean people, right?
Periodically, once in a while.
And like, I don't know about you guys, but I listen to news or music or something in the morning when I take my morning shower.
Ah, okay.
And I had an external little speaker that I would, you know, Bluetooth speaker I have going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
Well, for my birthday, I got something called the Shower Power Pro. So get this. Ooh. It never has to be plugged in, ever.
What?
What?
Because you hook it to your shower, the water pressure charges it.
Get out of town.
Nope. I kid you not.
Okay.
It's like you basically take your shower head off. You put this in between.
Mm-hmm.
The water flowing through charges the battery. The radio.
It's like a little turbine in there. The spinning.
Yeah. And you actually can take the radio out and it'll charge last like an hour once it's fully charged.
Wow.
It has and the sound is amazing because the sound's in the shower with you. It's like right there. So you hear everything crystal clear. It's like going through any curtains or doors or anything like that. And even like when you turn the shower on, it starts charging. It automatically pairs with your phone. Like you have to do anything. It'll just pair with your phone as soon as you turn your shower on.
Wow.
When you turn, so basically turning on the water says go sync.
Activates it. Yep. Go sync.
Activate. Yeah. Huh. Wow.
And it starts playing your music and it plays and it works. I haven't put a battery in it yet. I haven't plugged it in yet. It does have a USB. You can charge it through USB if you really want to. But it's just there. I mean, what can I say? It actually works. It's kind of cool.
So I recently had to switch out all the shower heads in my showers for my wife coming home. I had to get one of those that has like the rain shower plus the handle part so that she could use it more easily.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what my shower head would look like with this thing in between that apparatus, which is already two pieces. Now three pieces. It looked like some kind of shower transformer or something like that, but it seems really cool. How much does it cost?
It's $100 for the whole thing.
Mm.
You could buy a separate radio for it. Like you can get two. I'm not sure why you'd want to, but you can. And then they have this pro version, which has like, I think it has lights on LEDs. I don't know why you do this.
Wait, you have a water turbine powered Bluetooth speaker and you don't want LED lights?
Yeah, call me call me provincial. I don't know what it's
you
for.
Have to have lights on it. What's wrong with you, son?
And it does add about 3 inches. Like, that's the space you need when you plug it. And it comes with like a million.
Shut up, George.
Oh, God. I said it.
Mo added about 3 inches in the shower.
Well, wow, they charge whatever they want if it adds 3 inches.
But they basically have, and they come with like a million different like attachment things. So it fit. They said it fits like 99% of the shower heads out there. Like no matter what you have, they have some sort of adapter on it, so it'll fit. It literally took me 10 minutes to install.
Yeah, I can see.
You know, just unscrew it and screw everything back in, and then it just works. And like I said, it works. I mean, what can I say?
When I saw shower power, I was thinking it was like something that added to the water pressure of your shower or something. That was my thought. But it's the other way around. The water is powering it. It's not powering the water. So I get that.
Yes.
George already asked the important question, but I have the more probing question.
Uh-oh.
George, what are you listening to in the shower?
Well, in the morning, I listen to like news generally.
Right, right.
So that's generally what I'm listening to. Yeah, most of the time.
Just news in the morning. Shower. Okay. No. You're not listening to the Gen X Grown Up podcast at any point in the shower?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask him if he was listening
weird.
To who
that
let
would
the
be
dogs
just
out
be
or
weird.
Just, right. Or if you're looking for something else to listen to.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, my God.
Who let the dogs out?
You had that plan, didn't you? You had that all
lined
up. I don't think
I can. George set me up. It was George's fault. He set me up.
Mo can't listen to the Gen X Grown Up podcast in the shower because, as many people have pointed out, the stereo would fuck it up. He would only hear you, not me or him. So it wouldn't be a fun show without me or him.
I'm sure it's a stereo Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah, it's stereo. Yeah.
See, there's
surround sound or something like that.
No reason not to. Surround sound in the shower.
Only if you get the LED version. Yeah,
nobody wants to be in the shower and hear George's voices behind them.
What are you doing? You know, it's
I'm clean. I'm done.
That's for some creepy ASMR kind of shit right there.
You're in the shower. Oh, God. So I'll put a link on it for the show. They said
okay.
Oh, my God. I think the Pro right now is maybe even on sale on their actual website for $100. So you can get the one with the lights now for
$100. I get the lights, too. All right.
Well, yeah, maybe get the whole thing.
All right.
So shower power. All right.
Got it.
So, John, what do you got for us this week? Yes, I'm moving away from this topic. Let's move on.
You can't use it in the shower. I'm sorry to tell you, Mo.
Oh,
so tech we've talked about before, the Atari Game Station Pro. This is the plug and play from the company My Arcade that has, you know, 200 games on it, tons of Atari Arcade and 2600, 5200, all this stuff. I've been following it on our YouTube channel quite a bit. We all have one. I assume we're all enjoying it. I'm certainly enjoying mine. Among the things that are fun to do with it is expand it, because that SD card slot allows you to add games to it. I've covered all of that before on the YouTube channel. And one thing we all kind of knew was coming and we were waiting for, and it just happened. Brand new community-built firmware has just been released.
Community-built?
Yeah.
So is it,
for
is
the
it
Game
official
Station
then?
Pro.
So it's not official?
No, 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 no. My Arcade last released 1.30. This is 1.30C. Shh, don't tell anybody. Ooh. There's a C on the end. So it does very much. You might remember the last year we had the At Games had the Flashback Gold,
right,
that also had community firmware that allowed us to not only add games via SD card, but add them into the menu. So like they were in, you had cover art and you had details about the game and all that sort of thing. The new community firmware for the Game Station Pro does very much the same thing. Once you install the firmware, now the firmware is going to look on the SD card to see if you have the rest of the stuff installed. And if you do, it has dumped the entire contents of the memory of the Game Station Pro, and now you can modify it. So, for example, I've gone in and added a bunch of 2600 games that weren't on there. My Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, George's Pac-Man, Mega Mania, all these great. But now you could add them before, but it was just a text menu that you had to read the name and click on it. Now you can add instructions, game history, you can add your own box art, snapshot of the game, logo up top, and it's fully integrated into the menu system now. Now, unlike the At Games last year, where someone had already built an image that you could dump onto that old At Games, this is brand new. No one has built an image that has every 2600, every 5200, every 7800, every arcade game. That would be huge, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing so far and working on, and I'll give you a link to the beginning of my video series on this, where once you install this firmware, you have the power to customize the way you like. Maybe they used a box cover you don't like. You like the silver version instead of the original version. You can change that artwork to make it look the way you want. You wish there were some more notes about, oh, what about the game options? You know, what's game? My favorite game option is game 7 in Asteroids. You could put that in there. You could customize it any way you want within the confines of the menu that's there. You can even add non-Atari games just like they did. You can put Donkey Kong Jr. Arcade over the bonus games if you want, and now you can play it just by going through the menu, not digging through 1,000 pages of files on a flat file system like we had before.
So what changes have you made now that you have this?
I've had it about 2 days, and so far I've added... it's addictive. You get it in there and it looks so good when you have it all configured. You're like, oh, that looks great. And I'm like, oh no, I have Mr. Run and Jump. I'm going to add the new Mr. Run and Jump, the 2023 new Atari cartridge.
Right.
I added that. Remember last year, the year before, we found those prototypes that somebody finished, the Sonar and the other games. I've added those to this that no one ever had before. They just showed up last year. Whatever you have, you know, homebrews, if you have Galagon ROM, George, you can add Galagon right into the menu system. Whatever games you have that you play now, instead of having to dig through a menu, you can make it a nice, right in the UI, in the interface. Now, the one thing I will say is it's not for the faint of heart. People that are afraid to even flash the firmware aren't going to want to dig in these INI files and resize images and, you know, find all the text they want to put in there. But if you like that kind of tinkering, this moves the GameStation Pro from plug and play that I tinkered with to console that I can now fully customize. And I can only imagine as they move forward, the author has already said, well, we could theoretically add more RetroArch cores. We could invoke other emulators that they don't support, effectively turning this into a piece of hardware that we're putting our own software on should we choose to do that. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty intriguing. If you like that kind of tinkering, in the link to the video that Mo will throw down the description for you, I put a link right to the page where you can download the firmware, instructions hold, all that. And it's pretty cool. So if you guys want to tinker with your GameStation Pro, if you haven't done it yet, there's a new way to do it that's even cooler. And by the way, the new version doesn't eliminate any of the features you could already do. You could still just browse the files if you want to. You have the best of both worlds. So people at Atari Age, just they're amazing over there. So many great people in the community are expanding on this thing, and it just keeps getting better. So check it out. New community firmware for your GameStation Pro.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Whose baby is this?
She's my real baby, Grandma. I named her Katie. I'm sending out the birth announcements right now.
She's a doll.
Everything about her seems so
real. We just got the news.
Can I hold her?
Be careful. She's my real baby.
She feels like a real baby.
Real baby.
You're my sleepy real baby, and I love you.
Real baby and sleepy real baby. Each comes with 5 birth announcements from Hasbro.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the 3 in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
Gentlemen, this is the game segment.
Yes. Oh, right.
Tried, true, honored tradition of the Gen X Grown Up podcast for 6 years. Today, one of us has decided to be a traitor to our lovely podcast by putting something on the list that is not a game of any kind unless he's using it in the way that Saturday Night Live portrayed it a couple of weeks ago, in which case it's a very sick toy. Mo, why don't you lead off with your quote game item for this segment?
Well, you know, I figured, George, since you seem to be okay with, you know, bending rules and doing your own thing, I figured you wouldn't have a problem with this. So that's what I kind of went with.
But if I do it, it's okay.
Mo, just I'm rubber, you're glued your ass.
So honestly, I couldn't find a place to put this, and I definitely wanted to talk about it. So I'm adding it here, which is the Dune popcorn bucket that you can buy my God. In the theater. I got one.
You already got one.
I got one.
How did you already get one? I thought they were for the movie.
Amy was at seeing a movie with a friend of hers. She saw them unpacking them.
Oh,
she says, hey, can I buy one? And the guy's like, I was supposed to put popcorn in it. She's like, I don't need the popcorn. Mm-hmm. So the guy's like, sure. And he sold it to her.
All right. So before you proceed, for our audio audience, describe this Dune popcorn Jesus. Bucket.
Oh, my God. Okay.
If you'd be so kind.
So if you're a follower of Dune, you know, like, it's basically made to look like a sandworm's mouth at the top that you have to put your hand through to get to your popcorn.
Your hand.
Yes. So Saturday Night Live did a really funny video on this. Now, I'll put a link in the show notes so everyone could go watch it.
It was very much in line with Dick in a Box video from about a decade ago.
Yeah. And let me tell you, one, I got it because I think people are going to pay money for this. Like they did the other stupid popcorn thing a while back, didn't they? People paying ridiculous money for that thing.
Yeah, not all of them, though. I've still got some. I got like two of those Rocket Raccoon things that never went up.
Oh, really?
No. Well, oh, no. Yeah.
But this one actually has like the soft kind of teeth things that point in on it.
The soft kind of teeth.
It's ribbed for his pleasure.
Yeah, essentially. Let me tell you one thing. I'm glad I didn't eat popcorn out because it's really impractical for popcorn. It's stupid. It's something that if somebody it does offer me a ridiculous amount of money for, I'd have no problem selling it. I'm not that attached to it.
At this moment.
But it's just so funny. I just wanted to bring it up because it was just ridiculous.
Oh, this thing was all over social media and everybody had something to say about it. And my favorite line I saw was someone had a picture of it and all they had was one line that said, triple butter, hold the popcorn.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, do you remember the last live podcast we did before we did the rewinds? And we had that review where the guy said they laugh a lot, but they're not really funny. This is why that guy said something like that.
I think this is funny. Hilarious.
I figured out the game. The game is how can we roast Mo about his popcorn bucket?
There you go.
There, we found the game in this thing.
Roast his popcorn. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. No, roast him, not his popcorn.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, so I wanted to put it somewhere in this podcast. I jammed it in here. I know it doesn't belong.
Oh, you just jammed it in where it doesn't belong, Mo.
Just quit it.
Just quit it.
You know,
get out of it. Pass it off.
So, George, I was going to say something wouldn't work. George, let's just turn it over to you.
We got out alive.
Not really. All right. Speaking of getting out alive, I am playing a super old game, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
Yeah. Great game. The first one's really good.
I really enjoy both games. So I got back on this. My son was noticing that I was frazzled one evening and tired. You know, it's a lot of getting used to the new normal and a lot of stress and figuring out, you know, because now, unlike before, I am my wife's 24-hour caregiver, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not that she's like an invalid or anything, but she needs help getting out of bed or getting to the bathroom.
Little
or taking
assist
a shower,
throughout the day.
Food.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're on call.
And it can at times get a little stressful, especially if you're tired, maybe you didn't sleep good the night before. So my son said, hey, Dad, me and my friends have been playing Left 4 Dead a lot lately, and I remember you played that when I was a kid a lot. Do you want to play some night with me? And maybe we could even live stream it or something. I'm like, that sounds great. I like that game. We played Left 4 Dead 2 on the PC through Steam. We both have keys to it, so it worked out great. And what I found out is that at least in this PC version, if you play Left 4 Dead 2, all of the maps from Left 4 Dead 1 are in that version. So you don't have to go back and forth, which is a nice little
feature.
That's
kind of cool. Yeah.
However, they seem to have amped up the difficulty of Left 4 Dead compared to what I remembered hugely. So much so that a couple of nights later, John was playing this on Gen X Grownups Discord server, genxgrownup.com/discord, with Marcus, who had never played it before. And I jumped in, so there was three of us playing, and we could not complete the last level. I don't know why, because my son and I blew through it with no problem. But the three of us could not complete that last level, and I think we tried for like an hour.
I even had
to go put my wife in the bed and come back, and you were still trying.
I mean, I remember back in the day, John, we played on Xbox,
the
360. I remember, and we, just for giggles, we said, let's try the hard difficulty. We did it for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. And we're like, this is not fun. Let's not do this, this ever again.
Yeah.
Right. We were on the easy mode, Mo. And so if you haven't played the game before, there's tons and tons and tons of regular zombies you can just shoot and they die.
Yeah.
Then there are these special zombies that are hard to kill.
Right.
There's one that leaps at you called a hunter. Mm-hmm. In the first level, I counted 12 hunters between safe rooms. I'm like, where? This is not easy. This is difficult as hell. I can't.
He just means the first chapter of the map we were playing. Yeah.
That's when they're supposed to ease you into the game, aren't they?
I know. It was crazy. Yeah. It was fun, though. It was totally fun.
Yeah. It was very fun. I mean, boomers everywhere, smokers, tanks, everything was up like at least double or triple what I remember of the regular mode before. I did find one thing interesting about the game. When we played it, to Mo's point, I played on the Xbox as well. So I'm very familiar with playing that game with an Xbox controller, which is what I thought I should do when I play with my son for the first time picking this up after a decade or more. I found out on the PC, I don't play very well with the controller. I play much better with the keyboard and mouse. So it made me think about it and wonder, have they changed something in the coding of the game between the Xbox version and the PC version that maybe does something with the sensitivity of a joystick controller versus a keyboard and mouse? Because I'm wondering if, like, when we were playing on Xbox back in the day, you remember there were some games you could turn on this mode that made targeting easier.
So like an auto-aim.
When you move the thumbstick.
Yeah.
I wonder if that wasn't something that was maybe built into the Xbox version that is not present in the PC version. I don't know. Somebody out there is a better expert than me and can write in. But either way, it was still a blast to pick up this old game and play it.
Yeah.
These games are not very expensive anymore. I mean, you can pick them up on Steam for, I'm sure, $10 for one or $15 for two of them.
Yeah, they're cheap.
Yeah. I mean, that's nothing when you want to have a game like this that you can play with a community of people. You can play by yourself with the three people or a Dune popcorn bucket if you like. You can. You can jump in a game with your friends. It's real easy to do with Steam. You just join their game and you're playing.
There you go.
A lot of fun. If you want to pick up an old game that has a lot of gore and a lot of mindless zombie action, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 are pretty solid, I think.
Yeah.
So
still today, I'd agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And good story too behind it.
Yeah, I mean, really
just enough story.
Just enough story, to make you
To pull you through.
Really well presented. The whole movie poster thing for the levels was nice. Yeah. I'd forgotten that. But John, your game is brand new, coming out, or maybe it's out by the time we release this podcast, but it harkens back to one of the oldest, if not the second oldest video game of all time, I think.
So the game is called Comp 2, but it's spelled Q-O-M-P, comp. There's no U in it. It's not quomp or anything. It's released by Atari. So back in 2021 or so, there was a really creative indie game called Comp, Q-O-M-P. And it was, the concept is you are the Pong ball, the ball from the original game Pong. But you want to break out from between these two paddles. And so they created this little bit of a adventure game. You get past the first paddle and there's something behind it. Now you're in a maze and you can navigate. So a sequel is coming out. And you're right, George, we're right on the ragged edge. As we record this, it comes out in a couple of days. When this podcast releases, it's only been out a couple of days. It comes out, I think, on February 20th. We will have had a live stream on the 19th where we play it a day ahead of time. And I think we have some, maybe some free keys to give out. So, hey, if you're trying to travel, go back and watch the live stream, or you can watch it after the fact. But I have played, I think it's like three or four big worlds to play through. And I've played through all of one of them already to get acclimated with the game. So let me introduce you to what Comp 2 is about. It, same as Comp 1, you are, it starts as you're playing Pong. Literally, it's playing Pong and you're the ball. And then something happens and you're able to get past one of the paddles, just as in the first one. And the way you navigate, everything in the game is done with two buttons. one primary button and a secondary. So what the button does is you're traveling one of four northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, one of four dart directions, not diagonals, cardinal, yeah. but diagonals, one of four diagonals. And when you tap the A button, you can rotate 90 degrees between not all four, but from any two directions. And we hit a wall, you can pick any two other directions based on the direction you were going. And every once in a while, you have like blocks you have to smash or spikes you have to dodge or whirlpools that you had to get into to change direction or things like that. And use that trigger button to like kind of charge the ball up so it has more force. So it can smash through a wall or it can slide mm-hmm. a block that's in your way. And the entire game is this little action adventure, but it's a super kind of mellow, atmospheric action adventure. By default, the whole game has a really exaggerated CRT effect, like it's really bowed out toward you, really dramatic. You can turn that off if you don't like it. I really like it. And as you navigate your way through the generous checkpoints, because if you screw up, you can try little puzzles over again. What you wouldn't have thought, there's boss battles at the end of these levels for a pong ball to do. So let me describe the first one to you. Creative as hell. I started the game escaping these paddles. When I got to the boss of the first level, it was one of the paddles and he was pissed off. So as soon as I hit him, three little hearts appeared on the paddle. Now he's a boss. So I've got to hit him three times. Okay. After two, he brings in reinforcements. But the only thing you can do is navigate, change your direction, and charge up that super attack. Those are all your abilities. And meantime, you have to dodge every obstacle, every barrier, every spiked wall, all that sort of stuff. It is a laid back kind of game that if you're not a super fan of fast paced games, you might like this a little more. While it doesn't stop for you, they have tons of things baked in. Like you're having trouble, you can turn on a directional that'll show, like, you know, like you play billiards games and you can turn on the dotted line so you can see where your ball's going to go.
Oh, right.
You can turn that on if you want so you can see the trajectory. And if you're really having trouble, you can just turn on invincible mode and just walk through the game to enjoy it and see it if you just like the atmosphere. It's a cute little game. I think it's going to retail for, you know, $10 or $15 as most of these, you know, current Atari games do. And Atari is just doing so many cool things lately that they're to have a Lunar Lander coming. That's a story-based Lunar Lander adventure.
Looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome.
They have this Pong Evolved Comp 2 thing. It's really, what a great time to be an Atari fan. And Mo, George, you both have keys too, so you could play it when you get a chance.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Yeah.
That's the best part.
Right?
We have keys for you. So check it out. If you haven't tried it yet, go check out the live stream. It's linked down in the show notes and you can see what it's like. I'm sure looking forward to the future, it will have been a great time.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
AT&T's Reach Out America plan is a lot of talk.
She's not running marathons, but she's getting there.
Yeah, and guess where we found him?
An hour of long-distance calls across the U.S., weekends and nights cost just $9.45. Additional hours are even less.
Amy was the only peanut who had a line.
When you get an hour of calls across the U.S. for just $9.45, that is a lot of talk. Reach Out America, another reason AT&T is the right choice.
Before we wrap up this show, you know, we always like to take a moment here toward the end of the show to talk about the things we're looking at now or looking forward to between now and the next time we get together to record. And why don't we start with you, George? What do you have on the horizon?
Well, I'm going to pull a George and I'm going to call a movie in my looking forward to way, 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 way in advance.
Wait a minute. Just give me a bunch of crap over this. Oh, okay.
No, right. I gave you a bunch of butter over your Dune popcorn bucket. We're done with that one now.
Well, it's not too far in the future, right? A couple months?
Yeah, couple is an interesting word. So July 26th.
July?
Six, half a year?
I am claiming the third Deadpool movie, Deadpool and Wolverine, as my looking forward to. Nobody else gets to talk about it. Only George from Gen X Grown Up Podcast.
Yeah, we'll
you
see.
Heard it here, folks, first and last, folks. Deadpool and Wolverine. The trailer looks amazing. It looks so fun. They're still keeping Hugh Jackman under wraps, which is awesome at this point. I think it's great. That's something I'm looking forward to. Another thing I'm looking forward to, and this is going to be another surprise. Believe it or not, there's a new Law and Order series.
Oh my God.
Out.
Really? A brand new one?
How many are there now?
There have been, I think, like seven or eight now at this point, because there's also the Richard Belzer thing where his character moved from one show that was before Law and Order into Law and Order SVU. Mm. Anyway, this one is called Law and Order Toronto Criminal Intent.
It comes out
on February 22nd, 24. Well, you know, they got a lot of criminal intent up there. It's all the maple
syrup. Did you stab this guy? Yeah. Sorry.
Don't do it again.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Sorry.
It'll just make my Thursday nights even better because they're adding it to the Thursday night Law and Order run-up. So there's now four Law and Order shows on Thursday night because
four-hour block.
They have nothing else to put on TV, apparently.
Yeah. Holy cow. Play the hits. Yeah. I guess if people keep watching it.
I certainly will be there. But the thing I'm looking forward to the most premieres a few days later on Sunday, the 25th of February, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, new series. This is the Rick and Michonne series.
Oh, I didn't even know about this. Okay.
Yeah. So this takes place after the main Walking Dead series ended. In that final episode, we saw both Rick and Michonne in that last episode, and they were in different parts of the Walking Dead universe. They were trying to find each other. That's what this series is about. It's about their journeys coming together. People have been looking forward to this for probably 6 years or more now since they first announced it after the actor who played Rick Grimes had left the series. And so it's been this buildup of anticipation since then. I think it's probably going to be the best of these spinoff series just because of the subject matter and the actors involved. We'll find out on February 25th, but that's what I'm looking forward to.
Okay. Thanks.
John, how about you?
Yeah, I have a few things. So Apple TV Plus, all along, I've probably been talking about it, but they've been doing this new line of Peanuts, the comic series Peanuts, the Charles Schulz, called Snoopy Presents. They've done one about Marcy. They've done one about Pigpen, I think, just focusing on individual characters. And they have a brand new one that actually dropped today, but I just found out about it. So it's out now. By the time you listen to this show, and it's called Snoopy Presents Welcome Home Franklin. He's brand new to town in this episode, so it's like the origin story of Franklin, one of the Peanuts characters. It's I have a soft spot for Peanuts and the Charles Schulz universe and all of his characters. I just think they're so sweet. So I can't wait to watch that because I've watched all the other ones and they're not cinema. They're not earth shattering, but they're cute and fun. So what you'd expect from Peanuts. Okay. There's a film I'm looking forward to coming out February 23rd, which I think is the day after this podcast released. Drive Away Dolls. Have you seen a trailer for this yet? This is about the two young ladies that they decide they're going to take a trip to, of all places, Tallahassee, Florida, or Jacksonville, Florida. They're going to North Florida. Yeah. They just want to go on a road trip together, and they kind of walk in to pick up a car, and it turns out it's a car that was arranged to be like a drug or some kind of crime car.
Nefarious thing, right?
And some nefarious thing, and they don't know they have it. They just, it was a comedy of errors that they ended up walking in when the guy knew somebody was coming. And so these girls find out, oh no, we have contraband or something criminal in our car, and everybody's after them. So I think it's somehow involved, executive produced or something by the Coen brothers, so like Fargo and stuff like that. So it's that kind of madcap kind of craziness, big character pieces. So I think that'll be pretty cool. I'm seeing that in the theater. And then I almost felt guilty about this one until George was looking forward to something in July. And that is, I'm already looking forward to The 400 Mini coming out March 28th. This is a half-size Atari 400 8-bit computer. I've been excited about it since they announced it early January, and excitement is just amping up. I've never seen so many people interested in my favorite computer platform before as it is now, and so it's just raising awareness, and I can't wait to get ours and review it and share it with our viewers and play with it myself, honestly. So the 400 Mini. I'll be talking about that again between now and March 28th, I assure you. So how about you, Mo? What do you got coming up?
So one is Resident Alien Season 3. I thought the show got canceled, to be quite honest.
No. They signed Seasons 2 and 3. They signed those midway through season one.
I guess it seemed like it's been a really long time, I guess. In my head, it feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, we had the strikes.
So, but anyway, season three actually just dropped, I believe, already. Mm-hmm. So I think it's already started and out there. So looking forward to watching that. A show I watched on Apple TV called The Reluctant Traveler. That's Eugene Levy.
Oh, yeah. You talked
travels
about that.
Around.
Oh, yeah.
They did it during a season two. Really enjoyed the first season. And so looking forward to the second season of that. And no surprise to anybody here, what I'm really looking forward to is Dune 2, not for the popcorn holder, but for the movie itself. This coming out March 1st.
Looks good. Literally looks good.
Already got my tickets for it.
Yep.
Wrangled the troops to come watch it. Definitely going to be their opening night to watch this movie.
I really hope AMC does a similar popcorn bucket for the sandworms from Beetlejuice when they do the new Beetlejuice movie.
Wouldn't that be great?
Use the same ones. Use the same
mold. Buckets. It's just painted black and white.
Right?
We had extras.
Dueling bucket worms. Before we get out of the show, I want to throw a quick thank you to another one of our Patreon supporters who, out of the goodness and kindness of his heart, just gave us a raise a couple of weeks ago. JL. Just for no good reason, just said, hey, you guys are doing a great job. I want to support you a little bit more.
He might have had a good reason.
I guess maybe the good reason is at certain tiers, you actually get some swag from us that Mo mails out periodically. So maybe he wanted to step up to the swag level. I could see that happening. So that's the good reason isn't us. The good reason is getting good swag. But Jay he's been a supporter for quite a while, and he just upped it for just out of kindness of his heart. So Jay, thank you so much. You already know you're in the company of some very generous and amazing people that support us over on Patreon. If you'd like to join Jay and his cohorts, it's really easy. Just head over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. It'll walk you through the process and you can support Gen X Grown Up and make sure we can keep doing what we do here. And one of the added benefits of being a patron is that you can get your questions answered right here on the show. Right, Mo?
Absolutely. So this week's question comes from Jim. And the question, I really like this one, is what is your favorite conspiracy theory?
Okay.
So all right. Anyone want to go first? Anyone want to volunteer?
I can go. Mine's really easy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think any conspiracy theory around extraterrestrial life, I just eat up.
Area 51.
I don't either believe, like Area 51, like aliens built the pyramids, like all that kind of stuff. I just think it's like, I've watched Cosmos and I'm a devotee of Carl Sagan, and I understand why it's so infinitesimally unlikely that other people lived at the same time as us, because time is so vast. But still, I want to believe we're not alone. You know, I think that would be so cool. And so any conspiracy theory about aliens, even if I think it's bullshit, I'm going to pay attention and go, oh, show me more. Show me more. I'm going to be eating popcorn out of your bucket, Mo. I'm super excited.
Not my bucket.
No, not your bucket. That's true.
How about you, George?
You know, I saw you put this question to us a little while ago in preparation for the episode, and this may be a bit of a surprise. I actually don't like conspiracy theories at all.
Oh,
I really have a problem with conspiracy theories. I actually kind of detest them.
They can be damaging, some of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, just it's not so much the theories themselves or what they do in the real world or any of that. It's more just the undebatability of them.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
What I mean by that is, because I grew up, you know, loving debate, loving argument. And the problem that I have with most conspiracy theories and the theorists who believe in them is that there is no discussion about them. It's their way, they're right. There is no logical debate to the theory or talking about whether it's right or wrong or any of that. It's just, this is a fact. And the fact that it says theory in the title should tell you it's not a fact to begin with. But,
oh, sure. But people treat it like a religion sometimes. Yeah.
Very much so. So I really don't have a favorite conspiracy theory. I don't like them at all. But if you're going to force me to choose, I pick the one about the moon landing being fake. I don't believe it, obviously.
I enjoy that one because it's so laughable. That's why.
Yeah. You know, or the earth being flat or whatever. Yeah. I live in a world where I love to debate on the merits of known facts, accepted proofs, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So conspiracy theories are, they're just kind of like,
I'm with you.
They're painful.
Yeah. Because even the Lunar Lander one, I mean, they could give you so much. I mean, there's so much proof that it happened, you know, but they'll hang on some weird little fact that's not really a fact. Right. Something they
look how the
made
flag's
up.
Not blowing right, you know, or whatever it
you're
is.
On
right.
the moon.
There's
no
a reason
of course
for all
it's not
that.
Blowing.
There's all reasons for that. Yeah.
Yes.
What about you, Mo?
So my favorite theory is the whole Illuminati thing.
Okay.
That there's a secret group that's directing things and that they're controlling everything.
All governments
around the world are all part of this, and nothing happens for without a reason. Partially because it seems like it's true sometimes, because I don't things happen in the world that I Damn just it. Don't understand. You know,
is it
I
real?
Just don't. Yeah. It defies logic. You know, I'm like, this should not be happening, right? But it is for some strange reason. And my only reason I could give is the Illuminati did it.
Just go watch Rush Hour 2, Mo. That's all you need to do, and that'll prove your Illuminati theories.
Okay, see, there you go.
As all Chris right. Tucker says, follow the rich white dude. That's all you need to know.
It's always his fault, without a doubt.
Yeah, but I definitely don't believe that is true. But again, like I said, there are things that happen just in the real world that I'm like, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm. Yep.
People acting against their own self-interest. I'm like, why are you doing this? This makes no sense, you know? But they do it. And so it's that's why I kind of like say, okay, I'm hoping there's Illuminati, because then the world will make sense again.
Right. Right. At least there's some design. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm just really shocked that we got through a conspiracy theory thing and John didn't pull out Bigfoot.
I was waiting for that.
Well, that's not a conspiracy. Yeah. That's real.
Oh, yeah.
That's why.
Hence my point about conspiracy theories.
He has proof. So, but thanks. I mean, this is a great conversation. And I really want to thank Jim for this question.
Mm-hmm.
And
thanks, Jim.
Everyone listening out there, you too can throw your questions at us. Just go to Patreon, genxgrownup.com/Patreon. And you could contribute at any level over free. And,
free.
Yep, but free. Shoot me a message with your question, and there's a good chance you'll be asked right here on the show.
There we go. Nice. Thank you, Mo, and thank you, Jim. Very cool. That's going to do it for this episode of the show. Don't worry, though. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, and next week is our backtrack edition of our show. We pick a single topic and dig in deep, and next week we're going to come on down for a game show. Gen X Grown Up highlights game shows that we enjoyed growing up as Generation Xers. Look, it was all appointment TV. We're waiting between regular programming and primetime, there were tons of game shows we watched, many that we enjoyed, some that we didn't, and some that were obscure too. So we're going to run through the ones that we most remembered and most enjoyed, and some of our most memorable. Should be a lot of fun. We hope you will join us for that. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, you're the one we all three appreciate most of all, though, and we can't wait to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more watching shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Real quick before we continue, when you said Saturday Night Live did a really funny video on it, you were monkeying with your mic and it was like rattle, rattle, rattle.
Oh, sorry.
So you just give me a pickup that says Saturday Night Live did a really funny video on it. Okay. And then we'll be fine.
Yep. So Saturday Night Live did a really funny video on this.
Yeah, perfect. Now I can continue. Okay. I'll fix that. Thank you.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.